our world right now is full of babies. If we bring back some bullying, it'll toughen some people up, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's just weak men, unfortunately, weak women too, like in their victimhood. And yeah, I think we would be a lot hotter and happier as a collective if we were honest with each other.
You're listening to the premier podcast for men who want to not only be better with women, but want to be better men in general. This is the Come On Man podcast. And here's your host, Paul Bauer.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another week of Come On Man. If you haven't done so already, please like, fave, subscribe, hit those notifications. If you are listening on your favorite audio platform of choice, please give us a 5-star review and actually write out why you like the show. It helps more than you know. In fact, I'm going to read a couple of reviews that came up on iTunes. So Italian Boy said back in July, amazing. Love this podcast and everything about it. Keep up the amazing work. Thanks, Italian Boy. And then Nick 0856 said, best podcast ever. He says, I absolutely love this podcast. Best podcast for any man on his 3% journey. Each week is a great topic and never fails to amaze me. All right, guys, I appreciate it. If you listen on iTunes, give us a 5-star review and I will try to read it in next week's episode. Before I go any further, I want to give a shout out to the Patreon, patreon.com/comeonmanpod. I am going to be making changes to the Patreon here coming in January. Right now, there's 5 tiers available. The lowest tier is only $5, but in January, the lowest tier is going to go to $10. And then you'll be a part of the beer club and you'll be in the beer club credits at the end. Tier 2 is going away. I'm basically consolidating tier 1 and 2. Tier 3, I'm going to raise the price to $50. But you still get unlimited texting from me. And that also includes voice messages because it's over Telegram. So you can send voice messages or video messages to me. And I often respond with video and voice messages. So $50, I'm raising that, but I'm getting rid of tier 4, which was audio calls. Like no one signed up for that. Everyone signed up for 1, 2, 3, or 5. Tier 5, that's basically staying the same, except for starting in January, instead of getting 2 calls per month, you only get 1 call per month. So, if you guys want the current pricing and the current, features, you should sign up now and then select the annual payment option. So you basically pay up front for a year, you save 15% off the monthly cost by doing that. And then you'll lock in the current pricing and benefits. So check that out. If you've been thinking about joining the Patreon, like now's the time and select the annual option so that you lock in the current pricing. Because like I said, everything's going up in January. Speaking of January, starting in January, I'm also going to start doing live streams. That's going to be, so normally what I do, if you guys didn't know this, on YouTube, every Wednesday and Friday, what I've been doing is I've been taking a clip from the show and, you know, maybe like that's over a minute long, usually 1.5 to 3 minutes long. And I'll post that on Wednesday and Fridays as sort of extra content to put on YouTube. But instead of doing that, I'm going to do live streams. So every Wednesday morning and every Friday morning, starting in January, I'm going to be live. I signed up for StreamYard so I can do that. And not only is it going to stream live to YouTube, it's going to stream live to Facebook and Twitter as well. So look for that. That should be fun. That's going to be interesting, man. I don't typically like live streams, but the way that it's done on YouTube, it's way better than like TikTok or Instagram, right? Because I could do it in front of my computer like this. And through StreamYard, I can actually see people's comments from Facebook and from YouTube at the same time. So I can interact with people a little bit better. I can show people's comments on the screen. There's lots of really cool controls like that. I've been playing with that for the last few weeks. So I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. And if you have questions, You can go to the YouTube stream and send a super chat and I will try to answer questions. Otherwise, I'm just going to cover some topic every day. You know, it might be a current event. It might be, you know, something that I thought of, you know, something with dating and relationships. It might be something with law of attraction. You'll never know. But look for that. It'll be every Wednesday morning and every Friday morning on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. All right. Also, don't forget to sign up for the email list, list.comeonmanpod.com. You get free stickers when you sign up. I'm really just trying to get an email list together in case I ever get deplatformed from one of these platforms like I did last year on TikTok. That way I can reach out to you and let you know where you can follow me. All right. My guest this week is the lovely rabble-rousing Morgan May. She came back to the podcast. She did a video talking about why we should bring back bullying. And I was like, yeah, we should bring back bullying. Let's do a whole podcast on that. Now, some of the stuff that we talk about is kind of tongue in cheek. You know, there's a lot of people that suffer some mental issues from, you know, from being bullying or from being bullied. But I think a lot of that is because we're so coddled now. You know, like you can't say anything to people anymore. You know what I mean? Like back when I was a kid, like you would just get brutally bullied, you know, and you learn to either stand up to bullies or, you know, or you learn to get a thick skin. You know what I mean? And it made you a tougher person at the end of the day. You know, I talk about how I've lost weight, right? I used to be a fat guy, and I essentially bullied myself into changing for the better. You know what I mean? So bullying can be good. And Morgan and I talk about that. Some of it's pretty funny. I get pretty dark in some of it, but you know what? At the end of the day, it's meant to be for the better. It's meant to make you stronger. You know what I'm saying? So think about it. Don't be like, oh no, can't do bullying. Think of it more like, you know what? Maybe I should be able to handle being bullied a little bit more. You know, maybe I do need to develop a thick skin. Think of it along those lines and you'll come around. You'll come around. All right, guys, I will bring you that conversation with Morgan right after these words. Hey, you, I'm going to make this real quick. I know you hate ads. If you like this show, if you love this podcast, if you think more men should tune in, then you should consider joining my Patreon. You will be supporting the show, and I get to help more men level up their lives. There's now 5 tiers available, starting as low as $5 a month. It's like buying me a beer, and each tier gives you better bonuses. Visit patreon.com/comeonmanpod to sign up. That's patreon.com/comeonmanpod. One last time, that's patreon.com/comeonmanpod. Help me help more men level up and be better with women. All right, returning to the podcast is one of my most consistent guests. It's the lovely and thought-provoking Morgan May. What's going on, Morgan? What's new with you?
Hey, Paul. What's new with you? I'm good. It's my first podcast in a while, clearly.
But people that don't know, I get a text message about 30 minutes ago. She's like, Paul, I'm still getting ready. Can we push this back? Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Classic.
Chaos.
Classic. Just kidding. So the reason why I invited you on the podcast today is to talk about why we should bring back bullying, because you did a TikTok about that recently.
Yeah.
And I just remember seeing that. And it was the funny thing is it was the perfect timing because I was actually thinking the same thing. Like, man, we really should bring back bullying, you know, like bring back fat shaming. Like, let's bring back all this stuff because our world right now is full of babies, you know? And I feel like if we bring back some bullying, it'll toughen some people up, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's just weak men, unfortunately, weak women too, like in their victimhood. And yeah, I think we would be a lot hotter and happier as a collective if we were honest with each other, you know? And look, obviously not like abusive and like people offing themselves, like not talking about that. But I think like being honest about like the things you might need to work on ain't a bad idea.
Yeah. It's people can't take criticism of any kind, mm-hmm. even if it's constructive, like they just can't take it. And I think it's just because we're not allowed to criticize people anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It feels like a massive like infantilization almost like of the culture. Like the more I'm seeing too, like lately, just this theme of like think about it. We're born and then we go to school and we have these like authority figures, right? And then like every institution, the healthcare system, financial, like we're all just like children, like perpetual children with the state, with the government, like, you know, having the government keep our money and then give us the rest, but you know, whatever. It's just this like infantilization, like weak mindset. And I think like bullying and there being such an uproar and, you know, all this PC censorship culture to like protect people's feelings. I think it's like another symptom of that like core theme.
Yeah. It's sad. So your TikTok video, it's been a while since you put that out. Do you remember what you were talking about? Was it because men are being babies? Was it because like women were like dressing frumpy and stuff? And it's like, bitch, get your shit together. Like what was your video about? Do you remember?
Well, I do call women out for the record. I call women out on taking care of themselves and putting pride into their appearance and validating hot girls, basically. But this particular video was about a dude, actually, who, like, okay, this girl was dating this guy and everything was right about him, except like when he took her to meet his mom like airplane fed him food or broccoli.
What?
It was broccoli. Yeah.
Get the fuck out. Like a grown man.
So sick. Yeah. No, I think they're in their 20s, but still like way too old. And like,
but still, all a grown the comments.
Yeah. Oh yeah, exactly. And all the comments were all of these guys like defending this dude. I was shocked. I was like, there's no way that there is like humans on this planet that's like defending a little like, yeah, man being fork fed broccoli by his mom and like basically chastising her for like being shallow or like not wanting to work on like his issues. Or I'm just like, you try like maintaining any semblance of attraction after watching your partner like in that position. I'm sorry.
So the gal who was dating the guy made a TikTok about it?
Made a story time. Yeah. And my thesis was like, let's bring back bullying because we're out here normalizing weird shit. Like that is not normal. And all the guys in the comment section, like justifying it basically. I was like, no, this is where I draw the line.
that is unbelievable. Like you would think that, man, just the videos I post on YouTube and the horrendous trolls I get on YouTube, you would think that more people would be behind bullying, you know?
I know. Yeah, the YouTube trolls are something else.
The YouTube trolls are like next level trolls, you know? And I read them, I'm just like, wow, I'm impressed by that one. Thank you. You know, like
there's been a small handful that I've cried over. There's been a small handful that I've been impressed about. And then the majority of them, I leave up because I'm like, this is, it's just girls calling me a pick me, like basically.
Yeah.
Or that I've internalized misogyny or men telling me that I'm going to like die alone and I look old.
Well, the YouTube stuff, I don't even care about because that's a place where the comments help you in the algorithm, right? So like, you leave a shitty comment, great. That's just going to make, you know, the YouTube think that more people should watch this.
Yeah.
On TikTok, if someone puts like a bullying comment or whatever, it's, you know that it's the precursor to being like mass reported, you know? So it's like, oh, you know what? I need to nip this in the bud. I can't
private it.
Yeah. I gotta block this person or whatever, you know? But otherwise, like, I don't care. You know, it's just your opinion, man, in the comments. I don't care about that. It doesn't hurt my feelings.
There's been no one that's made you cry. Just kidding.
No.
I've cried.
Now I'm curious. Like what has someone said to you in the comments that's actually made you cry? Or do you not want to talk about it? Is it just too much?
It's a little too personal. I'm really open book. Well, what was it? You know what it was? Okay, this is like when I first started on TikTok and I didn't really know the true like how cruel the internet could be.
Okay.
And so I was kind of like having thought provoking like chat with people in the comments. And there was this one guy who was like, he actually made a good point, and I like responded, and like he responded, but like he responded with something that was so fucking cruel, but like it was shrouded like we were just having a discussion or whatever. And I was like, oh my God, like it just hit because my defenses weren't up.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm not going to say what he said, but I get some really interesting comments.
Yeah. Now I'm really curious.
Which one are you going to try? There's been two. What's the other one? I think the other one was like a weight comment or something. I was really sensitive at that point. I was like getting my period.
Okay.
Too much. Don't call into my body.
Any kind of body comments are off limits for Morgan Bay. Okay, that's fine. Like that's so funny. Speaking of body comments, though, so one of the things I wrote down in my notes on things that, you know, I think we need to bring back bullying for is like the obesity epidemic, and that's one of the reasons why my original TikTok account got banned, because I used to put out videos basically I wouldn't say a lot of my videos were being mean. Some of them might have been, but that's mainly just for like.
Some of them are mean. I remember even me, I was like, oh no. Can I go back on his podcast?
But some of them, I mean, some of that is just, let's just be honest, it's clickbait. You know, it's like if I say something outrageous that gets people up in their feels, it gets them to watch the video, right?
Yeah.
But most of the time, like really, it was more about, you know, why are we glorifying body positivity when we have people dying of like heart failure and heart disease and stuff like that because we have this obesity epidemic, but we can't possibly say anything about that because that's bullying. It's like we need to bring that back because people are dying out here, you know.
People are dying. Yeah, it's true. I mean, to me it's actually like such a joke. Like we literally have half of our country like overweight or obese, and like it's a real issue. And then we also have a movement like just accept that you're getting sick and like have like no metabolic function and have like a shit diet, just like accept it, you know. It's like, what a cope. It's like, but it's like you have to be stupid to buy into it, I think. I'm like, and I get at first it could feel like okay, you know, and being a woman growing up in like the early 2000s, like, you know, and not having super like skinny model body like that, like I had more curves, I can understand the need for like, okay, maybe more representation, but it's gone like way, way too far. And like Sports Illustrated just had a 300-pound woman on their cover. It's just like, I don't want to normalize that. I don't. And also like, if you're honest with yourself, you're a lot happier when you're in shape, you know? And so it's just completely backwards.
Yeah. Well, there's so many medical issues that could be solved by not being fat, you know. Right. There's type 2 diabetes would pretty much be eliminated if people just watched their diet. There's a lot of them too. I think if you watch like a movie like The Magic Pill, have you seen that?
Mm-mm.
Magic Pill is a documentary, but it's like a ketogenic diet, like pro ketogenic diet type documentary. And one of the things that they find that going keto eliminates is it helps people with like Alzheimer's, you know, heart disease, you know, type 2 diabetes, basically all the stuff that comes along with being obese. Ketogenic diet like solves all of that.
Yeah.
Autism. It helps with autism.
Interesting.
Yeah
I've done a lot of these like carnivore, like candida, you know, just like low carb diets. And this is the thing about bullying, right? Someone's reflecting to you like, hey, like there's something wrong, like there's something that's not socially, and granted there could be toxic things, but I feel like being fit is a pretty healthy thing to be like normal in society. Like something's wrong, then you're going to go on your own health journey and find things like the keto diet. Like that's what happened with me. It wasn't like a physical thing, it was like it wasn't an external thing, it was an internal thing, but like something was wrong and I had to figure out what it was. And like doing that, you know, I solved my problem. I had a problem versus just like normalizing the problem.
Yeah. You used to be full on vegan, right?
Yeah. For like 20 years, no red meat, and like 3 years full vegan. And destroyed my body, like destroyed it. I was like, okay, like I have to look at this. And I also, looking back, I had no muscle mass. Like, you know, something was physically wrong. I was just like thin or so, like, you know, I didn't like notice it outwardly, but yeah, honestly, like doing zero carb or like little carbs or like no starches, it's amazing for all of that, for detoxing the body, especially like your brain health. Like I've always eaten that diet, like for ADHD.
Bully more vegans? I feel like we should bully more vegans.
Honestly, I will lead that effort to bully the vegans there. So the most, okay, if I could just say, like, I get hate on from so many different parts of our culture. I get hated on from the vegans, from the feminists, from like the red pill rejects, from like whatever, people who are still tethered to like big pharma. The vegans are always the most fucking retarded. They're always just so stupid. I think it's because they actually can't think straight because they're like nutrient deficient. So
I think the vegans are the ones that are the types that would mass report videos and stuff on like TikTok or whatever. It's just that a lot of people in that space, right? Mm-hmm. There are very left wing, and they're very much about shutting people down, which is a type of bullying of its own, you know, if you think about it.
Yeah. It's all, I just think it's all fucking communism. It gives no power to the individual, all power to like these big institutions or big groups. It's just like, I don't know, like, I think it's bullshit. I think vegans are retarded. My TikTok comment.
Hashtag let's pick on vegans. Let's bully vegans. Let's bully vegans. What do you think about?
I was going to say the other. So, okay. The videos that I've gotten taken down, feminists are really angry at my stuff. So a lot of like my anti like hookup culture stuff has been taken down. But the videos that girls really had a problem with was when I was talking about weight. It was like ugly bad chicks. I'm just kidding. Like, I don't want to use that terminology, but it was.
Let's use that terminology.
No, I don't want
ugly fat chicks. Ugly fat chicks. Complained and
I was talking about, yeah, I literally have a video and I understand. I get it. Right. But like, I have a video that it was like a video response to a comment on like this super viral video I had about confidence. Right. And like, if you're a young 20 something woman, like, get out of your fucking head. No one cares. Like, you have so much power. Go use it. Right.
Yeah.
So I left a video response saying like, hey, I specifically targeted moderately attractive girls in their 20s for that video, because they have like the lowest barrier to entry for like getting what they want out of life. Like, literally, it's just in your fucking head that like, you're not living the life that you want. But a spinoff I made to that was like, the reason why I talked to moderately attractive girls is for that reason. And like, if you're not moderately attractive, I'm going to have a different strategy for you, because like, the world is structured in a certain way that you're going to benefit when you're a hot chick. Like, you're just going to get the most out of life the easiest. So like, I have to, and I shared a story, you know, I gained a bunch of weight when I was living in Paris, and I was like, I've lived both lives, like a hot girl and like overweight, and I'll fucking tell you which one is better. So I need to give you good advice for that. But that video got taken down 3 times. I actually had to like email TikTok's help center and like stalk them to get it back up, because it was always ruling in my favor. Just, they really hated that one.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'll say the same thing to guys, because I was the same way. I plumped up to 230 pounds. I think I was my heaviest, and going out in the dating circuit like that was miserable. It was a miserable experience. Women have much higher standards for men than men do for women. And
really, like weight-wise?
Oh yeah. There's studies that show that women are just way more selective with who they're going to be with. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But if you look at what men select, it's pretty much a bell curve, right? And we basically look at women like, would we bang or not? You know, like it's a pretty
zeros and ones.
Yeah, it's binary, right? Women don't look at guys the same way. You know, there's a lot of factors that go into attraction for women towards men, and like it or not, I don't care what any dating coach says. If you're a fat, overweight dude, you are going to have a hard time on the dating circuit. And if you could just lose some weight. You know, you don't have to be ripped, you know, you don't have to have a six pack abs and all that stuff. But if you could just be skinnier than the next guy, you're going to do so much better And I don't think there's anything wrong with telling guys the truth like that, you know, instead of like blowing smoke up their ass and being like, oh, no, no, dude, if you're just confident, if you're just confident and approach lots of girls, like it's going to work out. Like, it's going to be an uphill battle.
It's going to be harder. Yeah. This is what, like, I don't believe in lying to people. And I think the culture is just doing that because to like save people's emotions in the now, but then like they're still single like 5 years from now and miserable and they don't know why. It's like, maybe go to the gym once a week or once a day, you know, for a week.
Yeah.
And then another
week. Twice a week, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Just a little bit.
Speaking of red pill rejects.
I know you've been more red pilled than like the last time I was on.
I've totally embraced the red pill since I think the last time you were on. But
yeah.
But that's because I finally like really dove into it. I've actually talked to a lot of prominent guys in the space. Mm-hmm. You know, I've gotten a better understanding of what it really means to be red pill. And most of these douchebags that are in the comments that shit on your videos, you know, about, oh, you're just teaching women to be gold diggers and whatever. Those guys aren't red pill guys. Those guys are just they're losers. You know, they're MGTOW losers that hate women. And that's not what like the actual red pill guys, the guys that created the stuff and wrote the books, that none of those guys hate women. You know, it's more about having men level up themselves for the betterment of men, you know, for the benefit of men. And then like, you know, women sort of come along as a byproduct of leveling yourself up. Great. You know, but most of these guys that find their way into the red pill space, the black pill space, they're antisocial. They're overweight. They're a lot of them. I hate to say are, what does Ryan Stone say? They're soft R artists. You know, they're autistic. They're basically autistic.
Wait, who said that? That's really
Ryan Stone. Okay. Yeah. He calls them soft R artists, but they're attracted to that space for whatever reason.
Okay.
And so there's a lot of those types of guys that it's like, wow, you know, you need a lot of help, you know, and it's, I don't know if necessarily these, you know, red pill coaches on the internet are going to be the ones that can help you with that because of you have these, whatever disorder and that needs to be medically treated. You know,
you should round them up and bully them all at once.
I should. I don't think a retreat. that's one of the things where I'm like, I don't know if bullying is going to help the autists.
Medication and intervention.
It might convince them enough though to go get some real help, maybe. I don't know though.
I follow a dating coach actually on Instagram, and she was talking about how she's like in a generation above me in Gen X, and she was talking about how even the kids, she was talking about this one guy in particular in her high school, even in the special education class, this one guy was like killing it with ladies. Like he had always had like a girlfriend or something, and she was like, if like he can do it, there's really no excuse. Or like it's just,
yeah,
I don't know. I'm sure technology and like we have all these things that are factoring like into it. Like now we're just behind screens instead of like being forced to be around other people. But yeah, I still don't think it's an excuse all the time. Like, I don't know. I see cute like Downs couples sometimes on my For You page. Like it's not always an excuse in my opinion.
There you go. Look, if you got Down syndrome, there's a Downs girl out there for you. That's all I'm saying, right?
She's so cute too. She's like, I've seen her like put on her makeup. Like, I don't know. It's just everyone can find love. I believe that.
It's out there. So going back to body shaming, I put out on the internet that, you know, I've personally found bullying and body shaming on myself. Like I look in the mirror and be like, dude, you are starting to be a fat fuck. You know, like I will say that to myself in the mirror, like, dude, what are you doing with yourself right now? You know, that helps motivate me to lose weight, to get out, to go run. Like it's body shaming sort of like my favorite form of bullying. But it's so effective just on myself. I think more people should do it.
Well, it's funny you say that because like I think the experience is, this is like where like a big gender difference maybe comes in. Like, I think because women were so valued for that, like that is what society, you know, subliminally or whatever, like even not so like covertly tells us that our value is in how much we weigh, is in how our body looks. So like, there's so much more pressure. And like, if I could, I mean, I have that relationship where I'm like, Morgan, like, stop fucking eating ice cream, like no more ice cream for the next like 2 weeks. Like, it's good to have those stricter, you know, boundaries with yourself. But I think like, I don't know, tell me with like finances, could you bully yourself about your finances? Is it like really like more sensitive than maybe your weight?
No, I'll bully myself with my finances. if I notice that I'm buying a bunch of shit that I don't need,
I will
have a sit down talk with myself in the mirror.
Okay.
And good. it's not a nice talk, you know. It's like, dude, what the fuck are you doing? You know, all this used to be money, you piece of shit. Like, I like I'm mean to myself, but myself, you know, I respect that.
Okay.
So it's not the same for women. It's so that sort of leads into the next set of bullet points, which is, you know, I can understand why people are sort of against the concept of bullying, right? Because a lot of people these days are so thin skinned that they will, we have to say it, unalive themselves. We can't even say the S word, you know, on the internet, because you'll get your video taken down. So they will unalive themselves because of bullying, right? So do you think, I mean, do you I know women, like if you bully them about their weight, a lot of them go full on like anorexic and bulimic and stuff, which is dangerous. So do you think that we shouldn't bully because of that? Or do you, what do you think? What's the solution?
Where's the line?
Here? Yeah. Where's the line? Cause we also don't want a bunch of fat people. We've already.
It's true. You know, I don't really know. I think first of all, it's up to the parents. Like, I think a lot of parents don't do a good job of equipping their children mentally to like be able to have a really strong self-concept and sense of self. So I think if, you know, you have a high self-concept or self-esteem and then you're getting bullied, you have a lot of buffer in there to kind of like handle that. Maybe it doesn't affect you that bad. Certainly it's not going to, or it has a much lower, you know, chance of leading to anything serious happening with your life. And, you know, a part of me, I definitely think that there's been a culture shift. Like, there was way more, like, at least for women, maybe you could speak to men, but like, for women, there's been, I feel like, more of a culture shift, like towards inclusivity and not being like a fucking bitch or like relational aggression. Like, once Mean Girls came out and like, you know, our kind of catty, whatever, girl talk, clicky, whatever, there was more awareness to it and more language. So it was like less acceptable. And that was nice. But like, you know.
Do you think that movie really changed anything? Because I wrote that down after we were chatting last night about gender differences. And I was like, is being bullied for a girl like very much like the movie Mean Girls?
Oh my God. Yeah. I think, I don't know what's worse actually. And you tell me, but like, it is such a mind fuck when like you're friends with a bunch of girls and like all of a sudden you feel the energy shift and like, you know, that maybe they're texting each other or like there's something was said about you that you weren't there, you know, or like, oh my God. I was raised especially in like the jappiest, like clickiest, just highly competitive, like a suburb in New Jersey. And so it was so like that. And like, in middle school, like when I was really young. And so it was like ingrained in you and you just had this paranoia about your friends and like, you know, what you wore, there was so much pressure, right? And on the one hand, it made me quite a competitive person, you know, not competitive, but like wanting to do well, high achieving, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, it's like, yeah, it had its own set of effects. So I do think Mean Girls did something actually. It like brought to the forefront what these relationships actually were. And I think now with like TikTok, you see girls going viral when like girls are being mean to them. Like, I think it's more of like, we have your back kind of vibe versus like the mean girls of the 90s and early 2000s.
You don't think women are just, they do that because they're just naturally competitive though? I mean, I don't know if you're going to fully get rid of that.
No, women are definitely naturally competitive. And I think it's like taken different forms maybe today, but I don't think it's like, like before it would be like, I don't know, more acceptable and part of the culture for it to be so outward. And granted, I'm not in high school now, so I don't really know how it is. Like,
I think it's pretty much the same. Mike, we had a teenage daughter. It's
She
describes it basically just same as Mean Girls. The thing, you know, what's funny, the difference, a big difference between men and women is a guy will insult another guy and not mean it, right? But a but a girl will compliment another girl and not mean it.
Oh, interesting.
You know what I mean? So like guy, one thing that I learned growing up, I used to get in fights all the time. I used to be a very sensitive kid. If someone you know, said something even slightly mean, I was getting in a fist fight. And that went away when I was in fourth grade. Fourth grade, my mom put me in martial arts, and I talk about it on the podcast every once in a while, but being in karate, my sensei was just a great mentor in my life. He was a former Army Ranger. He was very much on, big on teaching us about leadership, he taught me about affirmations. He didn't he didn't even know that they were called, he might've known that they were called affirmations, but he never said that. He would have us read leadership rules and black belt rules before and after class, every class, you know, but they were just affirmations really. And I learned in that class, you know, not to let things bother me so much, you know, to talk my way out of fights. And I didn't get into hardly any fights after joining karate. I still got in a couple, but it wasn't like before karate. I had just the worst temper. And one of the things though that I learned in junior high was I got into a couple of fights. My mom put me in counseling, and the counselor basically taught me agree and amplify, which I didn't know it was called that until later in life. But basically he was like, oh, if someone's making fun of you, just agree with them and, you know, make fun of yourself back, and they'll leave you alone because they're trying to get a rise out of you, you know? And one of the things that I learned after doing that, and just sort of making that like a part of my natural way I handle stuff, was that a lot of guys will poke fun at you, not because they don't like you, but because they do like you, and they like, they're just giving you shit. And if they aren't giving you shit, they don't like you very much. So when I was in the Navy, that's how it was. Like my Navy sailor brothers, like if they were cordial with me and very like respectful, I'm like, they don't like me, you know? But if they gave me shit every day and, you know, stuff like that, then you could tell that they wanted to hang out. They, you know, spent time around me and stuff like that. They were just giving me shit. It was just
interesting.
It's just like brotherly love at that point, you know? But it took me a while to realize that. I don't think it's the same for girls. I think for girls, they're very much
my best friend. We kind of do like, but it's never anything bad. It's just, we both have this like roasty. I love a good roast. I really love a good roast. We have that, my sister and I do, but for the most part, yeah, I don't think a lot of girls can handle that.
Yeah.
I can't. I'm like, oh no. Like, should I look at that? Yeah.
I watch my daughter and like her interactions with these girls. And my daughter is like, she's like the queen mean girl too, you know, like I can tell that she walks around like she's the queen bee. She will have certain friends and she'll be palling around with them for a while. And then she'll get like sick of them, you know, and then she'll come up. It just sort of lay on me like all the crap that she's dealing with, like her friends and how stupid they are and whatever. And I'm just like, sounds like you need a break from that friend maybe for a little bit, you know, because they're getting on your nerves or whatever. But it's all passive aggressive with women.
Yeah, I know. It's exhausting. Seriously. I'm like, you have to like really read a lot. You have to have a really good pattern recognition. Like women are really good pattern recognizers, right? Like whenever I'm on a date, I like notice it because I've studied this stuff, but like I'm taking in like, you know, thousands of data points about this guy. And like women do that. And it's this almost hypervigilance, even in your friend groups, or like, you know, if like a slight affect changes, like understanding how to read that or what that might mean for your social standing or, you know, any of that. So yeah, it could be a lot. It's exhausting. I got to a point where I'm just like, If I don't, like, if my nervous system isn't relaxed around you and I don't trust that, like, you know, you are not totally here for me, I don't need that in my space.
That makes sense.
Much. Yeah.
Well, honestly, one of the reasons why I think a lot of the red pillars teach other men too, like, don't listen to what women say, just watch what they do, is because a lot that women's interaction with other women is very much like that. They'll say one thing and do something else. And it's like, but whatever their action is always the truth. So it's like, yeah, just don't.
Men are like that too. I say that to my clients all the time. Like,
oh, sure.
Don't listen to what he says. But yeah, I think it's true for women. Yeah, there's a lot of like, there's just a lot of like stuff under the surface with women all the time that you have to just watch their actions because you don't know.
There's there's a lot of layers, you know, totally off topic, but that sort of reminds me. I watched a video of this bodybuilder who, what did he do? He basically was taking some kind of drug that blocked estrogen from his body because he was a bodybuilder.
I saw this. I know.
What you're talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Okay.
And he got to zero, right?
He got to zero estrogen and he was emotional. And so then they're like, oh, you need to take estrogen again. So he started taking estrogen, and when he put estrogen in his body, he started getting like all emotional and started getting like all crazy and stuff. And he's just like, it's like, that's what women are going through all the time. You know, they,
I'm pretty sure I cried like earlier today over like a TikTok. It was like this beautiful love story. I'm like, okay, Morgan, no more social media for like the day.
You're
too sensitive
today. Your estrogen is acting up. So,
yeah.
So going back to people who unalive themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Now, hear me out. Hear me out. I'm gonna get hate comments here. But
talk about the heaviest topic on the internet.
What
right
about
now.
What about as a benefit, survival of the fittest? People who are just so thin-skinned, they just do us all a favor.
Just eliminate themselves from the gene pool.
You think that would benefit society? Of course, I put this on you.
right. This is like the most controversial podcast. I'm talking about ugly fat chicks.
Ugly fat like chicks and people.
Sorry, I can't say that. Anyways, what do I think about that? Okay, in theory, yes, I kind of understand, although I would never wish that on anyone. It's very sad to think about. I understand the theory and I kind of agree. However, I will say, a lot of the unaliving like stories I've heard from bullying has been by like literal psychopath kids who are like abusing, you know, really like extreme, totally not okay, like, you know, like some psychopath shit. So I obviously don't ever condone that. And when abusive, really bad people like target you, I know it could be like a thing, and I don't ever want to, you know, necessarily blame people for that. Although obviously there's things that you can do to protect yourself. Just like when you're 14, you're not going to like, you know, I've learned everything I've learned about like bad people over years and a lot of data. And like, it just takes time. Sometimes you can't just read a book and like, no. So anyways, in theory, I get it. I think it's a really dark fucking question. That's all I'll say about it.
Yeah. That's a very politically good answer.
I mean, I'm pretty.
Oh, you're going to get us both canceled here if we go on this
topic.
It's
not even just that. I just know like, you know, yeah, there could be a lot of underlying things like why someone would do that. Maybe it's a more sensitive topic for me, but yeah, I, in theory, I get it. Weak-minded people eliminating themselves. Yes. Like not procreating evolutionarily. I can see your point, Paul.
All I'm saying is,
yeah,
it could be a benefit. That's,
yeah, I mean, if,
oh
yeah.
My god, yeah,
I'll let you say that.
I'm gonna get letters. So do you think, I think we talked about this a little bit at the beginning, but do you think society is in general weaker because we coddle people so much, though? I mean, that have you heard of the term like the pussification of America?
Yeah, it's true. And I will tell you, I was talking about this the other day, like as a woman, I can literally, and you're going to think I'm crazy, and maybe it's not all that, but like, I've now done I have like a sample size of like a handful, like maybe around 10 or something, of guys I've like been around or dated or whatever, And like, I either feel really relaxed in my nervous system or I don't. And the guy that don't, I was dating this one guy. Okay. He was a vegetarian. He fed me lots of steak. So it's okay. He's a vegetarian. And I just knew that he had low testosterone. I was like, I don't feel this, like guys with high tests, like you just feel their like lust for you. Like, I can't explain it. It's not this like perversion lust. It's just this like virality that you just feel it as a woman, or like my nervous system being really calm. And I wasn't feeling that around him. He was like into me, but it wasn't like this depth, this like other was primal, he, like thing.
Do you think it was like, cause I feel like guys who do have low T are very effeminate, you know, like they're just very feminine in their actions, and, you know, masculine guys are sort of like, they sort of go for what they want. They don't beat around the bush, right?
Yeah. Yes, I think most of the time the guys are feminine, but it's just like a softness. It's not even feminine all the time. I met this one. Both of the guys that I know have low T because like they told me their actual stats. These two guys, one guy I didn't date, this other guy I did, but like I met him in Miami. And I just could tell that he also had low T. He was like kind of like soft. He was having problems in his relationship, like, and just didn't seem to really care about it. And I was just like, I'm pretty sure. And I asked, I ended up asking him, and he had low T and he was working on it for like this other health issue. But like, yeah, it's this, it's more so than effeminate. It's just soft. Like the guy that I was dating, I would not categorize him as effeminate. He definitely like made the moves that he wanted to make like a little too much that I had to kind of whatever, but like, it wasn't, it's this other quality. It's like the, even standing next to a guy when he's not making the move, you can feel their body like want to like be, you know, it's this like pull maybe. I can't, that's the best I can
animal
do.
Magnetism.
Yeah. Cause the other guy, he was quite masculine. He was like an entrepreneur. He like read all, we were actually reading The Way of the Superior Man. Like, no, not that one. What's the other one? Yeah, maybe it's The Way of the Superior Man together.
It's a pretty popular one. Yeah. It's a good one.
Yeah. That's the older one, right? There's two. I get them mixed up. One of them, I don't like the author, so I don't want to, but I can't remember. Anyways, he was like pretty masculine, but it wasn't this like deeper feeling. And like, it was kind of like weak. Like even his like thought process with like meat, and like this other guy too was just weak and you could feel it. And so, yeah, I think it's like a cultural issue, but I also think could come from like, you know, chemical stuff in our bodies. I think, yeah, we're all just weaker, like energetically.
You posted on, I think it was on Instagram today on one of your stories, that it's low testosterone is becoming an epidemic.
It's the thing that makes me so angry is like, it's been an epidemic. It's been a massive fucking issue. Testosterone levels are down 50% since like mid 1970s, 50%. That's fucking crazy. And as a woman, like, I don't know. You just feel it. I was at the beach one day. I was like looking around. I'm like, I don't want any of these dudes. They had these like more feminine body types, like just like more svelte and like softer. And I'm just like, I don't know. It's sad. And it's a serious issue. And I think, yeah, vegetable seed oils, like the vegan vegetarian diet, there's so much bullshit.
Do you think it's in the water? So you think it's, yeah, you think a lot of it's diet, chemicals, stuff like that? Because I know stuff like deodorants, right? Like male deodorants, soaps, they have parabens in it. Parabens like cause testosterone to be low. Guys drink beer. Beer actually causes estrogen production. Yeah. So. Do you think it's stuff like that? I mean, because
why is it like the, you know, American dad with the beer at the barbecue? That's the thing. It's like so American to drink beer. You know, I just think it's
Well, and since I was gonna say since like the 70s, I mean that's when like a lot of our dietary problems have started. Basically, like the food pyramid when they started cutting fats out. Like I'm a big keto guy. Right. Yeah. But I don't think keto's for everybody necessarily, but around that time, that's when they were really pushing low fat diets. They started putting sugar in everything. Everyone, like they started really saying, oh, you need to increase your grains. So everyone started eating like cereals and breads and stuff like that. And if you looked at the original food pyramid, I mean, grains was like
the bottom,
the biggest thing.
It's literally slave food. They used to literally not like take meat away from like slaves, like people that whatever, just to like make them weaker so that they wouldn't leave. Like, it's crazy when you think about it, when you actually look into the history, like Kellogg's, the guy who invented Kellogg's, yeah, made it because he wanted to curb the sexual appetite of like this weird church thing or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, and now, okay, you're going to like put that at the entire base of like what we need to eat. It's absolutely fucking crazy in my opinion.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of people just they don't understand that because I can't get rid of my baked potato. Dude, you're going to ask me to get rid of baked potatoes? Yeah. Dude, you don't need that.
Oh, my God.
You know? Just yeah, meat and veggies, man. Come on. That's all you need. But yeah, a lot of that stuff is, I will say this though, full other end of that spectrum. Mm-hmm. When I was getting ready for the Tough Mudder, I did a whole podcast on this, but when I was getting ready for the Tough Mudder, I was doing carnivore because mm-hmm. I was really trying to cut weight so that when I was doing all the body weight stuff for Tough Mudder, like the mm-hmm. swinging on the rings and stuff like that, I would be lighter. And doing carnivore caused my T levels to plummet. Just
really?
Yeah. Yeah. Because
I heard the complete opposite. Oh, wait, tell me.
Yeah. Cause so I was just eating meat and that was it. So ate meat and eggs and maybe some cheeses, but pretty much that was it. And I just had a severe lack of minerals. So I was lacking magnesium and zinc primarily. And it caused my T levels to just completely plummet. I was not very clear headed. I was very foggy. Yeah. I was forgetful all the time. And when I realized what it was and I started taking mineral supplements, everything started coming back to normal, but it was a mineral deficiency. So I think people's results may vary, but that was my experience with it.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. So I read a blog article and I sent it to some guys about a guy who went on a steak and eggs diet and paired it with weight training. Uh-huh. And he would eat like sweet potatoes on Sundays or something. Mm. And he increased his testosterone by 200 points. It was like in like mid 400s, got into like the mid 600s or something.
You know what's been helping mine is so I got back on keto, but I saw a TikTok video of a guy. He's a bodybuilder. He used to do steroids back in the day. And the problem with like TRT steroids and stuff like that is when you get off of it, like your body stops producing it.
Oh.
And so no one told him that. And so he had all these problems with low T. And so he was trying to bring it back naturally. And one thing that he found was by significantly increasing his vitamin D3, his testosterone started going up like a crazy amount. So I started taking basically what he was recommending with vitamin D3. And I've noticed that it's like completely night and day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Noted. Interesting. Okay. Yeah. It's not talked about. You should make a whole podcast on that, Paul. I feel like more men need to be talking about it. I need to be looking at it because, you know, doctors, the whole medical establishment has changed the standard. That they've changed where testosterone levels should be in 2022. Like, you know, if you're a 32-year-old male, they're like 50% lower, the standard is, than where it was in like the 1970s. So like,
this goes back to bullying. This, right? Like, we're coddling people instead of like fixing the issue. Like, let's make people feel better about their low testosterone by shifting the bar.
Yeah. It's like testosterone, low test positivity or something. Like, I will not be backing that movement.
No, that's stupid. That's ridiculous. Actually, you know, speaking of red pill rejects, Rich Cooper.
Sorry I said that. I know that the ideology is what you say it is. And I actually, of course, back that. How could I not back that? I just think in practice a lot, because I've fallen down those YouTube rabbit holes too. And it's not just commenters that are anti-woman.
I agree with you. Actually, in fact, this guy, Richard Cooper, he doesn't like calling things red pill anymore because of
right? Too far.
Right. So he calls it like unplugging or whatever. I'm like, dude, it's semantics. But he has a book, The Unplugged Alpha, great book. And he has a whole section on men managing their endocrine system and, you know, making sure that their testosterone levels are optimal. And he's saying the same thing. Basically, doctor, you go to a doctor, they'll say, oh, well, your T levels are normal. He's like, well, I don't want it to be normal. I want it to be optimal. I want it to be the way it was when I was like 21, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, a slight breeze would cause me to have a heart on, you know, like, just, like that. That's what I want, you know, when
bring
I'm
back
like,
easy hard on.
Right. When I'm 40, 50 years old, that's what I want. So that's being normal is not the case, right? And like you said, they lowered that. Ah, that's bring back bullying, Jesus. So I saw this. Getting back to the bullying topic, though, we went like way off on a tangent. But I saw this article. It was from 2010 in the Daily Mail, and it said that bullying, and more importantly, standing up to bullies, it's good for development in kids. And one of the things that I've learned, because I have kids in school, is that schools, they try so hard to stop bullying. Like they're trying to push this whole concept of teaching kids not to bully. If like the slightest bit of bullying happens, like they clamp down on it, but they never teach kids to stand up to bullies. And if you stand up to a bully, you get in trouble. You get in trouble for it. But it actually makes, studies have shown that it actually makes them better kids, you know. It said boys who stood up to bullies and schoolyard enemies were judged more socially competent than their teachers.
You're respected. You're like, okay, you have a backbone, you just stood up for yourself, like you know, how could that not like benefit positively on your character? But like the school system has it totally backwards, and parents too. Like I was always reprimanded even if I was doing something with, like, you know, was helping someone else or myself, you know. It was like, if you cause any conflict, you were in trouble. But like, I think if we supported kids defending themselves and made that, you know, the end goal, I think it could be really like a positive experience. I think men should protect women, you know, if it's like a guy against a girl, but like girls against girls and guys against guys. Yeah. Stand up for yourselves and learn healthy conflict too. You know, a lot of girls like become nice girls and then they don't have a spine or a backbone, and they just like allow these awful friends in their lives, right? But like, I don't know, learning how to stand up for yourself, it's like, that's a skill that's going to take you really far and only benefit you. Yeah.
So you say nice girls, is that very similar to like nice guy syndrome?
No, it's actually different. It's kind of, you know, I think that there are overlaps, but nice guy syndrome is just guys trying to get pussy, like by like being nice to girls. Nice girl syndrome is like, I was never validated for my anger, or like I had to like soften my reactions to survive a living environment, or like we learned to like betray our own needs, you know, for the needs of others, like very, and women are naturally submissive, right? This is like, it's like societal, it's, you know, in our genes, but like with the wrong people, right? With people who are not, don't have your best interest at heart, it can be messy. And I work with a lot with nice girls and like confidence levels. Like it's like bullies. You let bullies like keep at you, and it's going to erode your self-esteem versus like learning how to stick up to that yourself and like gaining a strong self-esteem.
So, I mean, some nice guys have that problem as well, though. They like, they don't know how to set boundaries. They don't know how to get their needs met. And stuff like that. And so they sort of let people walk all over them. They think that, oh, if I do all this stuff, this nice stuff for people, like I'll eventually get mine and stuff. And that's, it's all covert contract type stuff. It's not the same for women though.
Actually, no, a lot of what you said is very similar. I guess, you know, it's interesting. I think maybe nice guys are more, in my opinion, overtly manipulative. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's just because I'm more like, you can feel they're just trying to like fuck you. But with girls, it actually is still a manipulation. So I will say that there is a big parallel, but it's like, it's not just for pussy, right? It's for like, you know, validation, or like, maybe like a codependency thing. Like you said, covert contract. I like that language. Like, okay, if I do this, then I expect, you know, the same treatment or whatever.
Yeah. Do they, so like, I mean, the thing with nice guys is they will do all this nice guy stuff, expecting something in return, and when they don't get that, then they like have a hissy fit about it, you know.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like you weren't really nice, it's a manipulation. It's like,
right,
but nice girls, you know, that plays out with nice girls, and that like if you're so nice and you're so sacrificial and always for everyone else, you do build resentment when you know, if something happens where they're not reciprocating that in a way, it's like, okay, then did you do that just to get something in return? Like this, I just think it's a little bit more maybe unconscious with women, and we don't have the singular goal in that, in the instance that I mentioned.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about generational differences. So we were chatting yesterday, and you were saying that you were watching some videos from some Gen X lady. Now, so like growing up, I don't even know what fucking generation I'm in. I think I'm like, I'm not Gen X because I was born a little bit after that. I was born in 79. I saw somewhere, I think that's called...
I think you're Gen X.
Is that Gen
X? You're closer to boomers then, right? No, you're Gen X. You're healthy Gen X. 79, I'm pretty sure, is Gen X.
Is that Gen X? Yeah, because someone said, I've read somewhere too, and I just think that's people just making up names. there's a thing called Zennials, which is between Gen X and Millennial.
Oh, interesting.
And, you know, they're talking about how, like, we're the best generation, which I agree, but because everybody's generation's the best. But so bullying when I was a kid, and I got bullied a lot. In fact, a lot of people out there might know one of my biggest bullies. He's now the lead drummer for the band Rise Against. His name is Brandon Barnes.
Worked out pretty well for him.
That son of a bitch. yeah. So growing up, Brandon Barnes, the lead drummer for Rise Against, was he was one of the most popular kids growing up. And but he was a total bully. He was probably pretty good bully. And I wouldn't say like, you know, physical bully, but he would like make fun of you and stuff like that. And he was always big too. He was always like bigger. So it's not like you could do anything about it, 'cause he would whoop your ass. So like for me, like growing up, like I said, you know, I would get into a lot of fights. I would get a lot of scraps. I don't think I ever got into an actual fight with Brandon, but I got in fights with some of his friends, a couple of times. So, I mean, that's just how we handled it. Like we just got in fights. Like if you got bullied enough, you got sick of it, you would throw down, and we would, you know, my parents would teach you to, they would teach us stand up to bullies, because that's the only way that they'll back down. Right.
Yeah.
If you punch a bully in the face, you might get your ass whooped, but they'll think twice about bullying you again because they don't want to get punched. Right. So they'll go, you know, bother some softer target, someone that says don't stand up to bullies. And so I mean that's sort of how I was raised, right? Like you stood up to bullies, and it sort of made you it built character, you know. What was it like for you growing up, Morgan?
For me growing up,
what generation are you? Are you a millennial?
I'm a millennial.
Oh, yeah. Fucking millennials.
Oh my God. Yeah, there was a point in time like all of the media like hated millennials. And I was what do we do?
The boomers and Gen Xers fucking hate millennials. That's for sure.
Bullying for me growing up, I think it was mostly relational aggression. Just there was this one girl. Oh my God. This one girl used to bully me from like my, for acting stupid and for my ass. I have like an ass to me. I'm like a white girl. I'm like, was, you know, growing up in this very homogenous, like very white school. And like, I stood out, whatever. She, ridiculed me for that. Turns out she's
What's wrong with your ass, Morgan?
I have a fantastic ass. It was just like larger. It was bigger. And I was like this, like, it was like, you know, some girls grow their boobs really early. Like I grew my ass really early. And this was like back in early 2000s. J-Lo, I don't even think was on the map yet, but like,
oh, okay.
You know, the ass was not on the map. Kim Kardashian put the ass on the map. And then the same, like this one guy, Derek, oh my God, I have this story. He was like, running behind me in physical and phys ed. It was before I like learned what spandex were, and like I was also like 12 years old, and anyways, he was just laughing at my ass, and it like traumatized me. I was like, I always would get attention for it, and I was like, oh my God, this guy. And then he took me to prom like years later. It's so, like, people come around, you know. but yeah, it was mostly just like relational aggression bullshit. Oh, and Perry, that girl ended up being a lesbian. She was like the meanest girl to all of these girls in school. Turned out she actually liked girls, and she was overcompensating. So
interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think, yeah, it for my character, well, it helped my character. I like grew to really love my body and, you know, target my glutes when I go work out to make them even nicer.
You do squats now?
Yeah. I like the what is it, the Smith machine? Like that's my go-to.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's good. So, okay, so millennials make fun of asses. All right, that's the big generational difference.
I'm going to make content one day about what it was like growing up before the ass was on the map as a white girl, because it was a truly unique experience. But again, grew to love my body. And thank God Kim K came around, you know, she really helped with that too.
Was there anything, because I got a story here, but was there any bullying experience that caused you to like make a significant change in your life, whether it was good or bad?
Yes. When I first started making TikToks, my eyebrows were huge and I just like didn't realize that they were so big, and like dark too. So I don't know, my eyebrows look good now. I like really took it to heart. And yeah, so that was like the most recent, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, then I have two stories then, I guess.
Okay.
I have a TikTok bullying story myself.
Yeah. Okay.
No, so when I was in junior high, I wore shorts to school like a couple times, but my legs were so pasty white that people would give me absolute shit about how white my legs were, so much so that I stopped wearing shorts and I literally wore pants until I was like 35. I didn't wear shorts like until like I moved out here to Colorado, and it gets so hot out here too. So I live on the western slope next pretty close to Utah, so it's desert. So I mean, it gets like 110 out here in like August, right? And I'm wearing jeans, and I was dating this gal, and she's just like, I can't believe you're wearing jeans. You know, it's so hot out here. And I was just like, yeah, my legs or whatever. And she was just like, just wear some fucking shorts, right? So my girlfriend bullies me. And so I started wearing shorts out here. And it turns out, get this, if you wear shorts enough when it's sunny out, your legs stop turning white. Tan. It's so weird. It's so weird. That was a bullying experience where I didn't wear shorts for a long time, and then now I wear shorts like in the summer.
That's
and
beautiful.
Stuff.
But I love that.
And it was good, right? It was to my benefit. And then like a few times last year making TikToks, people were giving me shit about my hairline, right? Because I do have like a receding hairline, you know.
That's our go-to for dudes.
It's so bad. And so and I wear hats a lot, just mainly because I like wearing hats. But people were like, "Oh, let's see what your hair looks like, dude," and stuff. It's like, okay. There was a couple of times where I wasn't wearing my hat, and people were giving me shit about my hairline. And so finally, I was just like, you know what? They're right. It is thinning. Let me do something about it. And so I fucking decided to shave my head like earlier this year, and I've just decided to own it. Right. Like, yeah, my hair was thinning, so I shaved my head. You should do the same thing, you know? So that's
love that.
Positive bullying. All right. TikTok
will always show you exactly what you need to work on. Let me tell you.
People on the internet, man, they are brutal.
It's partially why I haven't I'm just more concerned because I just know it just invites so many comments. I'm just like, you have to have boundaries with it. People get a little carried away.
A little bit. Yeah. All right. Well, we're at an hour here, Morgan. It's been great talking to you about why we should bring back bullying. And I think we've got we're going to have some converts after this.
Sign up for Paul's retreat. He'll bully you.
Yeah. Well, that's the way. Oh, I should have a bullying retreat. Like properly. So Morgan, where can people find you online?
You can find me at The Morgan May on TikTok and Instagram, and www.themorganmay.com. It's my website where you can see Paul's episode up.
All right. Morgan, thanks a lot. I'll give you your evening back.
Thanks, Paul.
Morgan, thanks again, as always, for joining me. You're welcome back anytime. You know that. You and brother Luke have probably been my most consistent guests that I've ever had. And I really enjoyed talking to you, Morgan. You're a fun gal. You have some unique insights on things. I know that during the recording, you were like, you weren't sure about it. And then after the recording, you're like, was this really my best performance? It's like, you know what? This was good. You know what? Some of this was supposed to be sort of tongue in cheek. Some of it was supposed to be fun. You know, we're not supposed to take all this seriously. And you know, by no means are Morgan and I experts on, you know, mental health. So take what we said with this with a grain of salt. That's for sure. All right, guys, be sure to join the Patreon, patreon.com/comeonmanpod. The links are going to be in the description. Remember, in January, the pricing is going to change and there's only going to be 3 tiers available. So if you want the current pricing, the current benefits, sign up now because pricing is going to go up in January. And if you sign up now and select the annual option, you save 15% off the normal price. Plus you lock in the current price for an entire year and you lock in the current benefits. So check that out. Patreon.com/comeonmanpod. Get on the email list, list.comeonmanpod.com, and get some free stickers. There's so this one says, none of you can be first, but all of you can be next. Stole that from Ric Flair. There's 2 other stickers available. There's one that says red pilled and another one that says not a nice guy. They're pretty fun stickers. Really, I just want to be able to contact you if I ever get deplatformed, you know, if Andrew Tate situation ever happens. So get on the email list, list.comeonmanpod.com. All right, guys, I think that's all I have this week. Oh, be sure to remember in January, I'm going to start doing live streams twice a week. So if you're not subscribed to the YouTube channel, do it right now. All right, guys, catch you next week on Monday.
This has been the Come On Man podcast. New full episodes served hot every Monday morning on your favorite podcast platform of choice. So subscribe now. Follow Paul on social media. The links are in the description. Now, go out and get it.